We're talking about this afternoon. We're going to take the verses that Paul left off of this morning. And we're going to talk to John's admonition to those that abide in the truth. The introduction comes from 1 John, the second chapter, verses 24 through 29. The Bible says, Therefore let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just that it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Upon these verses and these admonitions, John writes to his little children, we're going to discuss the atoning and the admonition to those that abide in the truth. Let's have a prayer. When Paul spoke this morning, he talked about the Antichrist. Today, as we have taken on this next section of John's lesson to the little children, we're talking about the contrast of the Antichrist to the words of God and to what God wants his people to be. It looks like a very complicated thing as we read these six verses that we have read that John is talking about with the anointing and the things that these people are taught not to be deceived. But when you break these down verse by verse, it's really something that people can understand, and it's something that John knew that his followers and his readers could understand. And this is very important. This is as important a lesson as the one that we heard this morning when they talked about the other side with the Antichrist. This now talks about the right side with God. It begins in verse 24, as we begin to dissect these verses one at a time. We see John says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So, John has already warned us about the Antichrist. He's already warned us of all of these many factions that was going to fight against Christianity, that would fight against God, that would fight against Satan, that would fight against the church, that would fight against Christians. So he's gone down through that, and as Paul pointed out, if you're not for Christ, then you are the Antichrist. Because in all situations in the Bible, there's two areas. It's white or it's black, or it's right or it's wrong, it's light or it's dark. There's no middle ground. So that's what John is writing here. He said, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. In other words, when the apostles were first sent out and we can teach the doctrines of Christ, that is the beginning. That's when the gospel began. That's when Christ was made the Savior, the Messiah. So John said, you start back at the beginning when we begin to teach to you. That's where you need to start. Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul made the statement. He said, it's hard to be, I am amazed that you have already changed what we just gave to you. We just told you the doctrine. We told you the truth. We told you the gospel. And already you changed it and amended it. And he said, there's nothing new. There's still only one gospel. You have simply corrupted the one that we gave you. So John says, I want you to abide in the gospel that you first realized when we first taught you. If, he says, and this is a contingent, he said, if one will abide in the truth, then salvation and fellowship can be with God. But the if means that this fellowship is conditional. The object, when they talk about the anointing, and this comes from John, the second chapter and the 20th verse, where John said, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. When John is speaking of the anointing, he is speaking of a specific thing that Christians have. The object, or the noun, of what John is saying here is the anointing, or the truth. So the noun, the object that John says, The anointing that he's talking about from the Holy One is the truth of the gospel, the call of the gospel that would move one to be obedient and to be diligent. And John said, go back to the beginning when you were first called, when you first obeyed, when you first did what you were told to do. He said, and remain in the truth and adhere to it, because the Word of God is unchanged. So John is saying, go back to the beginning, and this is where you need to put your strength and your support and your faith, because he said there's nothing changed since that first doctrine that we gave you. So if you have salvation and fellowship with God, then the anointing will work, and you will abide in the Son with the Father. What abided in the saints from the beginning is what puts one into the Son and to the Father. So the question we could ask is that there is an anointing from God, and it comes from the beginning, it comes from the doctrine. How do we receive the anointing? Well, John explains that in his writing also. He said in 1 John 2 and 5 that the anointing is the Word of God, or the gospel plan. This is the plan that the apostles taught about Jesus. It's the same plan that we teach today, to hear the Word of God, to hear the words of Christ and believe them, believe in the deity of Christ, believe that He is the Son of God, make a repentance of the things that we have believed and followed in the past, confess the name of Christ before men, and to be baptized into the family of the fellowship of Christ. And that's how we receive the anointing. We receive the truth by believing the gospel plan and being obedient to the gospel plan. And it says that then the Holy Spirit would anoint us, and that is the anointing. It is the truth of the gospel and the gospel plan when we hear it, believe it, and obey it. 1 John 2 and 6, he said, walk in the steps of Jesus. So in other words, continue to be obedient to the will of Christ. It's not something you accept and forget, but it's something that when you accept it, you need to be obedient to it and stay with it. 1 John 2 and 10, 2 and 10, abide in the light of Christ, or remain faithful. It is to the faithful that last until the end that the gift will be given. So he said, be faithful. Stay in the light. Stay in the doctrine of Jesus and don't leave it. There is another thing that we need to understand about this that I think is very important, and John is also bringing this out. In 1 John 2 and verse 23, John makes a statement, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Some would think that maybe when we begin to look about the doctrine of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ and the gospel of Christ, that all we're looking at is a simple teaching about Christ and about His life, but that's not what it is. And John tries to make this known here. But what we learn is that the life of Christ and the God His Father, it is the totality of the divine revelation of God. So Christ was the one that came to earth as man and gave Himself to buy and to justify the gospel, but it is God that holds the truth and the gospel and the commandments. So John said, if you deny the Son, then you can't have the Father, because you can't have the Father without the Son. Jesus said in John 14 and 6 that He was the light and the truth, and that the only way to His Father was through Him. So if we don't have the Son, we're not going to have the Father, and we cannot have Father God except that we go through His Son. So denying the Son is the same equivalency as denying the Father, and to not abide in the Word of God, you're not abiding in Jesus, and the one that hath not God hath not Jesus, and vice versa. So to deny Christ, John said, you have deprived yourself from God. This is a direct hit to Judaism, because there was no one to go through. And now he said, to get to the Father, you have to have the Son. So it takes both of them. They're a pair. It takes both of them. In verse 25, John continues. He said, this is the promise that He has promised us, and that is eternal life. So God made a promise. I've given you, Christ has given you His gospel plan. He has given you His doctrine. It was taught from the beginning of the age of Christianity by the apostles. And in this promise was the promise of God, and this was the promise of salvation. The anointing represents a Christian's qualified status. The gospel called him to repentance, To answer the call is to the advantage, is to the promise of salvation. And the promise of salvation is through the forgiveness of sin, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, you've got your gospel plan. Believe and repent. The promise of salvation. Salvation is made possible because of the forgiveness of sins. That is part of the new doctrine. It was not part of the Mosaic law. And the forgiveness of sin and repentance and salvation is the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then he says, and he's brought this about, you have to remain faithful. You have to be steadfast. You can't quit, but you have to stay faithful to receive the unconditional promise, abiding in the light of Jesus. In verse 26, he kind of changes gears a little bit. He said, these things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. So now he's been talking to the Christians and their anointing and how they receive the anointing, which is through the gospel plan of Christ, which forgives sins, which gives one an opportunity of salvation. Now he's going back to the Antichrist. He said, there are those that will try to deceive you. What he's saying here is that there's one gospel. There's one gospel plan. And if you start trying to believe in something that is not from the beginning of the gospel plan, then you're dealing with something that is probably not going to be truthful. Following this context of them or those that would try to deceive you, Paul's talking this morning, and John said, one group of those is those that were with us and then left and began to teach something that was different. That they were teaching something that would cause Christians to be led astray. So what he is saying here, he said, there are those that will deceive you. And he said, don't let anything or anybody, of course in the Galatian letter, Paul said, one of us or an angel, don't let anyone deceive you and keep you from doing what you know to do. So what is John teaching here? Well, he's teaching something that is very, very simple. He's teaching that there's false teachers. 2 Peter 2:1, Peter said there are false teachers. They teach a false doctrine. There are those in our midst that will try to deceive us. We've already heard what Paul said in Galatians 1. He said if anybody teaches you anything else and they were already falling for it, he said let them be accursed. Now we've got John, we've got Peter, and we've got Paul that are all saying beware of false teachers because there are false teachers. Who are these false teachers? It's anyone that would tell us that we cannot know God. It's anyone that tells us that we can remain in fellowship with God, even if we continue a sinful life. It's those that say Jesus was not God in the flesh. Any one of these heresies, any one of these teachings which were prevalent in that day, and they are just as prevalent today. Those that will say, just invite Jesus into your heart, make the sinner's prayer, and when Jesus comes into your heart, you're saved. Doesn't make any difference what you do or how you live, you're saved. Now these are heresies. These are not truths. These are not according to the Bible doctrine. And when you have a heresy such as this, it is multitudes of people going to lose their souls because they believe through this and ignorantly do not do what the gospel has told them to do since the beginning of the gospel plan. John says here, he said, beloved children, I don't want you self-deluded by the spirit of the Antichrist. I don't want you to be led away. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to fall for these false teachings of the Antichrist. The phrase, lead you astray, comes from a Greek word, planeo is the way I would pronounce it. But what it means is to make wander, to lead wandering about, to lead from the subject and talking, to lead astray, to mislead, to deceive, to wander in speaking, or to aggress. When we stray, when a false teacher leads us astray by his false words and his false doctrines, then he has transgressed the word of God and he is teaching something that is not from God. He is teaching something that is not true. And that's exactly what John is saying here. That's what he's been trying to make these people, his little children, the readers and his followers, that's exactly what he's been trying to make them understand, is that you cannot live according to the world. You can't listen to those that teach error and still be satisfactory to God. So here's another question I think we can ask. And this is something that I've heard. We talk about false teachers that would lead us astray. Well, I've had people say, but our preacher is a good man. He cares for us. He loves us. He's trying to do what's right. And he believes every word he says with sincerity and honesty and believes that it's the perfect truth. But he's teaching us and he puts his salvation in it. So he's honest and he's sincere. Maybe it's not exactly according to the Bible, but he's so honest and sincere that God is going to have to accept it. So the question would be, if one is leading us astray honestly and lovingly and honestly and sincerely, leading us astray by the words that he is teaching, if he's preaching in error and is an accident or through ignorance or unknowingly, is it still going to be true or will it be a false doctrine? Well, John answers the question. He said that the scriptures clearly teach that if it is not of the truth, it is a lie. So regardless of the false teacher's motives, regardless of whether it's intentional or honestly and sincerely in error, if it is not a truth, it is a lie. And a lie can never be the truth. Now, this is a very important question, and this covers a lot of denominational teachings in our world today. And I know a lot of these people. They're good, honest, sincere people. But if they're not teaching the truth, they're teaching a lie. And we cannot be deceived by false teachers and false doctrine. Verse 27 says, and this gets very interesting. He said, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. You got to think about that one just a little bit when he says you do not need anybody to teach you. What John is saying here is that a person that has obeyed the gospel as it was given and has accepted it and repented and been baptized has been shown the truth. The apostles had the truth. They gave the truth. We have a Bible with the truth in it. We have access to the Bible. If there is a question, if it's wrong or if it's right, we have a book that we can go to that will tell us what is erroneous and what is true. So the anointing, which is the gospel called the truth, abides in that truth. And the truth of the gospel is the anointing that a Christian has. 2 Peter 1 and 3, Peter said that the word of God is all sufficient to life and godliness. Peter said everything you need to know to save yourself is listed in the Bible. We've told you what you need to know. We've told you how you need to read it. We've told you how to do it. It's all there. You just have to read it and understand it. And that's what John is saying. If this anointing process was the call when people responded to the call of the gospel, and those of the anointing were the ones that John is speaking here when he said, little children. The noun that we're talking about, anointing, signifies truth. And it is the truth of the gospel that abides in the child of God. That's 1 John 2 and 27. And John said, I've got every confidence in you. I've got every confidence in you that you obeyed the truth, you understand the truth, and now I am admonishing you to abide in the truth, because he said the knowledge of the truth gives you the ability to distinguish between the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. That's 1 John 2, 20 through 23. The child of God is anointed with truth. We have the truth in the Bible. And John said this knowledge of the truth allows you to distinguish between something that is right and a false doctrine. John said, I don't want you as Christians. I do not want you to be at the mercy of false teachers that would teach you something that is wrong. I don't want you to be at the mercy of someone that's going to teach you willfully or ignorantly something that is not God's will, because he said you have the truth and it's in the Bible. False teachers of the world would like for the believer to understand God in a different way. But John says that the anointing or the truth prevents such from happening to one that truly abides in the gospel. That's 1 John 2 and 27. 2 Timothy 3:16, God's word is perfect, it is complete, and it is profitable for teaching. So So abiding in this anointing, abiding in the truth, gives one the living hope of receiving this gift of salvation. And those that have obeyed have the hope of receiving God's promises. Once again, Paul told us there are false teachers, but we told you the truth. Follow the truth. Peter said, everything we've given you is the truth. You can bet on it. And now John is telling us the exact same thing. Follow the truth. To have the anointing means that God abides in us, and to abide in God's word is to have God abide in us. We need to understand the word of God because it is perfect and complete and has the ability to save. Verse 28, he says, and now little children abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. All saints have been acknowledged or admonished here to take up residency in the Lord and to believe in the word, the truths of the word, and put their faith and their hope in it. John says the reason we need to abide in the word of God and abide in the truth of God is so that when Jesus comes back, we will not be ashamed of his coming. 1 Thessalonians says that the dead in Christ shall rise from the dead first. Then we that are alive, those that are left, shall together be called up of him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. He said, I don't want you found ashamed when this happens. The Lord is coming back. I don't want you to be ashamed when the Lord comes back. What does he mean by the word ashamed? What it means is, I don't want you to be separated from God. I don't want you to fall away from the truth. I don't want you to follow after false doctrines and false teachers. I don't want you to be believing and doing the wrong thing when you know you ought to be doing the right thing. I don't want you to have this shrinking feeling when God comes back. And remember when Jerusalem was destroyed, they said, let the rocks, let the mountains fall on us. Let us be hidden from this. John said, I don't want you to have to shrink from God. I don't want you to be conscious of guilt before God because of unbelief or improper belief. He said, I don't want you to be ashamed, and I don't want an antichrist to ruin your eternal existence. And then he concludes in verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone practices righteousness is born of him. There's another phrase that the Bible uses. It is begotten of God. And it's used many times in the Bible. I believe there's a connection between the phrase begotten of God and the anointed of God. I believe there's a connection here. I believe they're very similar. And John tells us those that are begotten of God will continue on in righteousness. Isaiah tells us that God measures a man by whether he meets or does not meet his standards of righteousness and justice. God's standards of righteousness and justice. The root word of begotten is gigeneo, and it means to bring forth or produce. 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul used the exact same word. He said, I begat you through the gospel. I called you through the gospel. Men and women that obey the gospel that are brought forth or produced as Christians through the teaching and the obedience to Jesus Christ. So one that obeys the teachings of Christ is then brought forward or is produced, is begotten as a Christian. And the encouragement that John is giving is to continue in the faith rather than living or teaching lies. Continue in the gospel of Christ. So there's a connection between being brought forth, begotten, and being anointed. The Christian is brought forth and begotten upon receiving the word of God. So is the Christian that obeys and is baptized, is anointed, having the words of God applied to his heart so that they would be able to hear, obey, and live in righteousness. So in conclusion, obey God, keep his commandments, walk in the light, and you will receive the reward of salvation. Don't be fooled. Do not be misled. Do not be deceived by the false teachers and the false doctrines that they teach, because these false doctrines are not of God. They are of the world. They are of Satan. So John said, believe in that you have heard from the beginning, the truths that we taught you, and be steadfast in them, and remain in them. Remain in the truth of the apostles' doctrine, because there is reward promised to those that are faithful. This is the admonition to those that believe in the truth of the gospel. Let's have a song of invitation. We can hit the board as we sing.